Are you fuckers recording?
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language. You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
Oh, yeah, I'm back.
So I'm trying to start the show.
Oh.
I'm Morgan Nook, Big Mouth Dickhead from the internet. All right, that's it then, I guess.
I'm Ryan Sproul, and Morgan's a big mouth motherfucker from the internet.
I'm Dylan Reeve, head of department.
Oh, you're a HOD. That's so exciting. Have you ever heard of the game Dog HOD?
Yes, no. I do know the name, the game Dog HOD.
I once played it with a friend of mine and a girl. The friend was Ryan, and the girl was, I think, Kelly.
Yes.
Kelly. One. Was it Kelly?
It's Kelly.
Yeah. So that was Girl HOD. What you do in the game of Dog HOD is it's really mean, actually, and I can't imagine anyone really doing it with an actual dog.
It's quite simple, though. It's quite simple. It's easy to learn the rules.
You get a dog, and you pet it. Maybe you give it a ruffle around the ears, and you treat it good and make it happy, and then you yell at it, HOD! And that shocks the dog, and it probably yelps and maybe leaps away from you, and then you just cuddle it and pet it and get it over to you again and make it happy, and then you go HOD, and you just
the
see
first
how long
person to get mauled loses.
Exactly.
But I tell you what, it's infinitely funnier when you play it with a human being who doesn't know what the fuck's going on.
Who did she maul?
We never lost. She just kept on coming back, silly girl.
I don't understand what's happening. But I think basically we invented kind of pickup artistry years before the game was conceived.
Yeah.
HOD is also a veterinarial, a veterinary procedure for dogs.
No, tell me about it.
I don't know. It's not a procedure. It's a condition that dogs suffer.
Yeah.
Called hypertrophic osteodystrophy. I Googled it.
Don't Google anything. This is all anecdotes. We're not supposed to learn anything real.
That's absolutely right. Ryan is correct in what he's just said. This is another episode where we talk about stories we've maybe heard about or maybe read a headline about, but we don't know any of the details.
Sorry, did I say Googled it? I meant knew that because I'm really smart.
That's acceptable then. That's fine.
Yeah, good right. work. Ben's not here. He forgot that he does a podcast every Tuesday night, apparently. He said, kept meaning to text today, but got busy at 5. Thanks. So I'll just, talk to myself for a little while, but thankfully my ass has been pulled out of the fire by, friends of the show and, wonderful regulars, Dylan Raven, Ryan Sproul, who... You know, you already know that there because we've been talking for ages. I don't even know why I've basically just, restarted the show again, but it's not like I'm going to start
Should
it there.
One of us get the official title of stand-in co-host? Or are we co-hosts?
No, go with you being the stand-in co-host. Dylan, I don't know how long I can be here for.
Well, I mean, my
I don't know how long
child,
I can stand. Oh, you've got a kid, yeah.
My child could wake up any moment and then I have to go.
Yeah, so, good point.
Goodness, the whole thing could fall apart.
Wouldn't that be wonderful? It's already actually fallen apart because I was recording a little bit with Helen Stimson.
Oh yeah, I know Helen. What did she have to say about?
Well, Skype completely got in the way and ended up hanging up. And before hanging up, it was a dropout fest.
Is this the big sleep out or sleep in or something?
Fucking yeah, Microsoft. The big sleep out. And we're going to talk about a little event that they're running at the Classic Comedy Bar. Called Jokes for Change. Hopefully she's going to be back on in a minute and we can, you know, get it straight from the horse's mouth.
You know what she needs, eh?
What's that?
Mac.
No, that's definitely not it because she wasn't using a laptop. She was using a phone to do the phone. Skype. And sometimes the old Skype can surprise you by being good. And other times, oh my God. Definitely not going to be better in Microsoft's care though, I predict.
They've got not too bad at making things not too shit lately.
Do you reckon?
Well, I think Windows 7's pretty good. Windows Phone's all right, except for it doesn't work very well.
Windows Phone's all right,
I would say that was faint praise, but I don't know if I'd even.
No, that's pretty good. I mean, it's solid. It just lacks features.
Hang on a second, guys.
I'm Ben Gracewood.
Fridge.
Did I just hear Ben?
Is Ben warping in and out of the show like some kind of freaky alien?
I need to turn the
Ben.
I'm Robin Gallagher.
And Robin's there as well. Oh, and she knows what we did.
Have you made some sort of discourse soundboard?
What's going on, Robin? Are you actually there?
No.
Hey, wow, that was Ben's voice, not Robin.
Is this a seance?
Wow, that went really well. All right, let's wrap this show up. Eh?
It's like something from a sci-fi movie where they're trying to get a connection to some fucked up planet.
Fucked up planet in the distant past. Wow, someone just bought me a roasted pear and vanilla ice cream covered in a very spicy, winey sauce.
Are you podcasting from a restaurant? That would be rude.
No, I'm podcasting from Studio One in sunny nighttime Parnell from the new penthouse studio.
Sunny nighttime Parnell.
In the rain. I should say rainy.
Oh, do you know what I did this week? I sponsored someone to sleep on the street.
Did you?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
I don't know much about it because I'm not allowed to research it. But
but from memory, there are aliens involved.
At some point, there's some people sleeping on a street to raise money for LifeWise to help eradicate homelessness in a good way, not just like kick them all out, which is another way of approaching it.
Oh my god! Oh, this is the worst. This is the worst thing in the world. Let's get Helen on, and then let's kill this fucking show. And we're joined now, without editing anything out, we promise, by Helen Stimson from Common Room, who is here to tell us about the Big Sleep Out. I understand, Dylan, you're sponsoring someone for the Big Sleep Out. I don't know what it is. Helen, can you fill us in?
Hey, Helen, Morgan likes animals more than people.
Oh. I've heard that. Most people do, though, to be fair.
I also treat objects like women.
So the Big Sleep Out is an initiative. It's a yearly fundraising, awareness-raising event put on by an organisation called LifeWise, and they're really aimed at getting our most vulnerable citizens the help that they need to turn their lives around. So these are people living on the streets or nearly living on the streets who really just need a bit of a leg up, whether that's a bit of education, help with a mental illness or a drug addiction and that kind of thing.
Has there been an increase in people living on the streets in the last wee while?
I have no idea.
I've certainly noticed more people on Queen Street begging.
Yeah. Mm.
And I think part of the work that LifeWise does is not just those people begging. It's streetwalkers or, kids who don't have a great home life and spending a few nights a week or a couple of nights a month living on the streets, you know?
Right.
So it's the people who really do want to change and just really need a little bit of support to do it.
So how does the event work? People sponsor other people to...
Yeah, it's kind of like the 40-hour famine, but less pleasant. So you get sponsored and then you go and sleep outside on a bit of cardboard for a night in the cold and the wet. And it's kind of to give people an understanding of what it's really like. You know, nobody really wants to live on the street. I'm not looking forward to it, to be honest.
Me neither. That's why I'm not going to do it. But I'm going to have to find someone to sponsor. But as well as the actually sleeping out on the street, I understand that there's another event that's going on that supports the same cause.
Well, rather than sort of begging door to door, which some other people doing the event are, Me and my colleagues at the Common Room, who are both also doing the Sleep Out, decided to put on a charity fundraiser, which is an event, a funny comedy night, because nothing says let's help the homeless like laughing. So we've called it Jokes for Change, and it's going to be hosted by Steve Wrigley.
Oh, I love Steve. Great. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we chose Steve because I'm a big fan of his, obviously, but he manages to be very funny without necessarily being that cruel.
Yeah.
And you know, his particular breed of comedy is quite.
So did you consider Brendan Lovegrove or?
I do know his homeless person joke off by heart. I'm not very good at telling it, but
Do you think you can? Do you think you can just give it a go?
Oh, God. Okay, so I'm a mess. I'm an alcoholic and I drink too much and my life was spiraling out of control. But there was this one moment that really made me realize that I needed to turn my life around. And I was in Amsterdam and I'd been on like a 4-day bender, and I, you know, had done everything under the sun. And I woke up in a gutter in the morning, and this homeless man looked down at me and he said, "Change."
Oh, God.
Not great.
That's pretty good.
No, it's really, I mean, it's good when Brendan does it because he has that little pleased look on his face.
Yeah.
Anyway, the reason, I mean, aside from the fact that we all love comedy and I love comedy, is that something that kind of made this, the idea of having a stand-up show in support of this event, is really that I think that homelessness and that kind of people falling through the cracks is really all of our problems. It's a societal issue.
Yeah.
And comedy, since the beginning of time, has been a way that we've been able to look at ourselves a bit more, you know, a bit more closely than is comfortable in other situations.
Yeah.
So,
Can you guarantee a certain number of laughs?
I can guarantee 4 laughs minimum. But
Make it five and you've got a deal.
Well, I don't know. There's Steve Wrigley hosting, so he'll probably do 5.
He is Justin very good, actually.
Justin Smith managed to be a woman comedian without resorting to too many vagina jokes. So that'll be maybe 3.
That'll be just confusing.
Yeah, I know. She doesn't do period jokes either, so I like.
Have you heard Irene Pink's period joke? She says, "I'm going to tell a period joke," and then she tells a joke about, like, Victorian.
That's very clever.
That's a pun.
That's brilliant.
Brilliant. And then Jared Fell is an NLP magician who swears a lot, so I like him too.
I don't know what MLP is.
Neuro-linguistic programming, mate.
Yeah.
He brainwashes you magic while you're watching.
Does he do a trick where he sticks a needle through his arm?
Does he do a trick where he negs girls and uses Keno?
Easy, you're not allowed to talk about that.
I didn't get that joke.
No, no one. Very, very small number of people will.
I might have seen him.
Jared Fell, yeah, he's very funny.
If he opened for Steve-O, there was a magician who opened for Steve-O, and he was pretty bloody good, actually. Started off awkward and then actually turned out to be a complete crack-up. But that's magicians, actually, I think, usually.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of standard across that genre, isn't it? Awkward.
Yep, awkward. Mm. Oh, my God, magic shows. Pull a rabbit out of a hat. How did it happen? What? Shut up.
How did it happen?
Well, how did you do that? The dirty little secret of lots of those magicians with, like, I mean, I don't imagine many of them actually do things with birds anymore, but very often they just killed the birds. They just squashed them into little tiny spaces.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
That's Helen, how did you get involved with this?
I know a few people who did it last year. So I watched it all, kind of the drama unfold on Twitter, of course, and then saw some very tired people afterwards.
So were people tweeting from their being homeless?
Yeah, it's not, I mean, that's not really kind of buying into the true spirit of the thing, is it? You should really be out there with a can of paint.
I have no specifics, but there's a guy, a project in the States that that gave homeless people cell phones and got them to tweet about their days.
I remember reading that on Metafilter. What was it?
I don't know, but it was very interesting. I think there was 5 of them, and it was quite fascinating. The weird insight into their lives.
I remember another one where someone gave money to homeless people, but told them it was a loan and they had to pay him back. And seeing, you know, what the ratio of you know actual returns was, and some of them did give him money back. Pretty incredible.
Quite cool. I suppose it's just micro enterprise, but on a more local level.
Were they investing the money?
Or was it a loan?
They came back a couple of weeks later and said that they had bought some some stocks and
here was your first interest payment.
Yeah.
I own your ass now. Welcome to the world of servitude. Get used to it. Now I'll clean my car. I seem to recall things like people saying they needed to buy some clothes and that they were hungry and wanted food. I remember he also got them to bring him receipts, I think. Maybe he got them to bring receipts in lieu. Oh, no, I know what he did. I know I can. I had this all completely wrong. He gave them prepaid credit cards. So then he had the code so he could track what the money was spent on.
Right.
Okay.
That must be fascinating, but it must not give a very accurate picture of what they would really be spending their money on if they could.
Cause it, yeah, because you can buy food and you can buy cider at New World.
That's
yeah,
true.
Yeah, it's true. And also it cuts out anywhere that doesn't accept credit card.
Yeah, oh, maybe it was a debit card. It was something that they could use at normal, at convenience stores.
It'd be different in the States, I suppose.
I think actually I had the whole story completely wrong. Because, I mean, I'm not actually allowed to look these things up. I'm doing it from memory. I think that he actually said, take this card and spend what you need, but bring the rest back to me. And the number of people who actually did bring the card back with some charge loaded on it was higher than you might expect.
Wow. Somewhere in there is the truth.
I think that last version is actually the real truth. Because I remember he definitely...
All three versions were fascinating.
That's very kind of you.
Yeah, somewhere.
Yeah, it's like a possible world's attitude towards all of the rambling anecdotes for fun.
So speaking of possible worlds, you can go to a world of laughter at the Classic Comedy Bar on Queen Street on the 23rd of June at 7:30. That's Thursday next week.
That's right.
So two discourses from now, but after this week, probably only one because, you know, given that you're not going to listen ever again. I apologize. I blame Ben, actually. How about everyone else? Do you feel comfortable blaming Ben? Also, yeah. I blame Diana. Has she ever met a cupboard she didn't want to slam shut?
No, I'm not going to pass that one on. No. I'll slam it shut on my face.
I'm sure she's a listener, so she'll hear about it. Helen, is there anything else that we should know about the Big Sleep Out? Is there still time for people to sign up to sleep out in the cold and rain on a piece of cardboard?
Because I'm so sorry, you guys, but there just isn't. I mean, you could probably have your own Big Sleep Out if you want to just you know, hunch down outside your door, but you're probably best to show your support by buying a ticket.
Yep.
You can buy tickets at onenight.co.nz, which is a great little ticketing agency, or you can go to fundraiseonline.co.nz to support any of the participants. And I'm not trying to sway any of your votes, but probably the Common Rooms fundraising page is the better of the 20.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Morgan, let's buy some tickets and go to the thing so that we're at least, don't feel so guilty about making so much fun of all this. And then we'll make a cool fort out of some pillows and stuff and have a sleepover inside.
Ooh,
at the penthouse.
Yeah. Sleep in, cozy and snuggly.
Come and sleep in the studio.
But at some point, you could dump a glass of water over each other so it simulates a little bit of the discomfort of sleeping outside.
That's kind of discomfort, but then also a little bit sweating.
Oh my God. What is she doing? Did she just fell a tree?
I'm wrapping the fish and chips now.
So actually, I think that all of our listeners should, who are in Auckland or who are anywhere nearby, or who can fly to Auckland through the ash cloud, you risk death, but you know it might be worth it because you might meet your future wife there. Because Ryan, as I recall, the first night we met your fiance, we actually went to the Classic.
That's right, absolutely. Yeah.
Was that when it was still a porn theater?
No.
No, we saw. Was it 10 for 10 on Wednesday night? And. Yes, that was the first date.
Yeah, geez, it was good fun. The Classic's great. So $40, go and do it. Easy.
You get dinner as well.
Oh, my God, how can you get dinner? There's going to be no money left for the homeless people.
Oh, we've had some very, very kind donations. Sal's Pizza is going to be there with accompanying food.
You've got Ryan now.
Oh.
Helen is well aware of my stance on Sal's Pizza.
Oh, they're veggie pizza.
I think you two are the only people who have borne the full brunt of me, of my ranting. But that's really great of Sal's to get in support.
That you're pro Sal's Pizza.
I am very much in favour of Sal's Pizza helping out with this cause.
Yeah.
I love their little segues. They used to come up. I think we're like one block outside of their coverage area now, but at the previous studio in the city next to the High Court, they would come up on their little segues and it would be so fresh and hot. Sales, man. Mm-mm.
Morgan, if there was ever a time to use an actual segue as a segue into a new topic, now is it.
But how do you segue from a segue?
You know who else could use a segue? Cameron Slater.
All of us.
Oh, no. Well, yes, actually, because he's on the disability benefit, isn't he?
I thought, no, doesn't he have an actual job now? I thought he got a job on account of his ongoing court cases had bankrupted him, put his family out of their house. And finally, he's learned, apparently, to shut the fuck up.
Actually, I heard that he discovered some sort of buried treasure in the backyard, and he's now independently wealthy. We're not allowed to look stuff up, right?
What?
Yeah, that sounds likely.
All right. Helen, do you need to go, or do you want to listen to Cameron Slater's?
I'm just playing Flutter, which is a Facebook game, so I'll just listen in the background.
You're playing a game. Okay, well, we can play some other game. Let's play a game called The Discourse Weekly Show, Urban Dictionary Word of the Week.
Urban Dictionary Word of the Week.
Have you ever listened to the show, Helen?
Yes, I have.
Hey, wow.
So you're the one.
Oh, shit. I can't play it.
Let's have a musical break. I enjoyed that. Now, in this game, I'm going to give you a word or a phrase from Urban Dictionary, and you will have to come up with the definition as defined on that site, but without looking it up.
Okay.
But as you've listened to the show, clearly you already knew that.
Yeah, I knew that already.
Yeah. Your word is Christmas syndrome. This was added in March 3rd, 2011.
Hey,
it's quite a recent
Morgan,
word.
Morgan.
Yep.
Shut up for a second. Honey, can you grab me a beer?
Baby. Oh, God damn it. I'm in my sound isolated studio.
She can't hear you, Morgan.
Let's have a race.
If I shout out for a drink, I'll just wake up a child.
This isn't fair, though. I have to send a text. So I'm going to get... Oh, you're here. Can I have a beer? Quickly, it's a race.
I've got mine already.
Oh, God damn it.
My partner is best. It was a race. He was trying to get...
How many poached peaches, poached pears have you had today, Ryan?
Poached pears? Oh, good point.
Yeah, I had one. It was so good.
To have a delicious Italian seafood.
Are you talking about poached pears?
Yep.
I just poached my first pear last week. It was a taste explosion.
Oh, yeah, for me as well.
Yeah, it was unpoached.
So good. All right, so that word, Christmas syndrome.
The Christmas syndrome is, I think it's probably when you build something up to be more exciting than it ends up being.
I know this one.
Go on then, Dylan.
I know this one.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's when you're a retired or current detective for the New York Police Department, and every Christmas something terrible involving terrorists happens to you, and you end up saying things like "Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker."
Yeah, I saw a documentary about that once.
Yeah, I know.
Or three times.
Terrible.
Four times.
I don't know what documentary you're talking about, but have you seen the documentary Red Dawn?
No.
Is that the one with the kids?
Yes. Though, do you remember in the 1980s when the Russians invaded the U.S.?
Yeah, and those kids defended the states. I remember that.
We in the free world, we owe those photogenic children a debt of gratitude. Now, Ryan, did you guess the Christmas syndrome?
Christmas syndrome. No, you know what? I was enjoying everybody else's definition so much that I actually have not come up with anything myself.
Me too. Guess what?
What?
We have a winner!
Oh!
That's me.
Yeah, because...
Absolutely it's not you.
Yeah, because this is specifically about John McClane. Yeah, you were right. When the weather outside is frightful. No, Helen, congratulations. The definition, according to Urban Dictionary, is when you're looking forward to something constantly to the point of obsession, causing actual event to seem short and dull in comparison.
I'm so good at this game.
Yep, you're really good. So that's 2 weeks in a row. I think this is the second time we've ever had two wins in a row.
Oh, that puts a lot of pressure on for next week.
Yes, it does. But you've already...
Your word is the.
Definite article.
Have you looked that up on an Urban Dictionary? That's probably not what you expect.
Yeah, true. I really enjoyed doing a the with that chick. It was really adventurous.
What's next? Not Liz Shaw, Cameron Slater. So Whale Oil on Friday said that on Monday he was going to release, well... a whole bunch of information from a Labour Party site. It was about, I understand, all of their donors, yeah?
Yeah, well, before that, he did already release, well, I don't know if he released information, but he talked about information he'd acquired from a Labour site.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was about some minutes from a meeting and about some evidence that Labour staffers were working on Labour things whilst being paid by parliamentary services.
Yeah.
Oh, and there was also, I understand there was a rumour, not a rumour, in the minutes it was revealed that Australian Labor Party members were travelling over to work with New Zealand Labor Party.
Was it a Labor Party member or like one of their organisers, one of their, you know?
It was somebody who had 30 years experience. I like that we can't look any of this up, so it's really going to get interesting.
But by our powers combined, like Voltron, we turn from a whole bunch of lions to actual knowledge, but it's very hard to find those moist kernels of sweet corn and amongst the lack of detail.
We still have more accurate information than Fox News would.
So he found, I mean, it was an incredibly insecure
website. Labor Wing said, he's National hacked us and then gave the information to Cameron Slater. And then he's posted a video demonstrating precisely how he found the information, and it's shockingly
I haven't watched
ridiculous.
That video. How was it? Was it just like clicking a link?
It was basically that they had a bunch of websites, virtual hosts, set up on their server. He determined what they were by looking up the IP address of one of them and then backwards resolving it to other things that were pointed there. And then went to each of them, and one of them he went to, it had no website there. It was just a directory index.
Which Apache, the web server, has off by default. You've actually got to have actively turned it on for that even to happen.
Yep, and then you could just browse through the whole lot, all sorts of things. And they were backing up, among other things, they were backing up their contact, their CRM database onto their web server for some reason, and all sorts of ridiculousness.
It was their backup, yeah. It's completely insane.
Yep, it's been fixed now, although a lot of it's still cached in Google.
Yes, which, as somebody has observed, it's a bit like Labor's waiting for that permanent marker penis to fade from their forehead as they're waiting for the Google cache to disappear.
It sounded a bit like he was reading that.
I'm reading it off my own Twitter. I'm allowed to use it twice. And then the other cool thing about Cameron Slater is he's going toe-to-toe with the Bruiser. Trevor Mallard is going to have a bike race with him. Yeah, and then afterwards, they're going to have a boxing match because Trevor challenged him to a bike race. He accepted and then counter-challenged saying, well, if we're doing something that you like to do, I'm going to do something that I like to do, which is boxing. So I challenge you to a boxing match afterwards. And, bout? What's the proper, is it a boxing match?
I have not heard anything about that. Are you not making this up?
No, I've heard that as well. That's absolutely
true. I'm absolutely not making this up, but there's no way for us to check. Yeah, so they're going to, Cameron Slater is working hard out getting his weight down, and Trevor Mallard is recovering from some kind of gammy leg or something.
Sounds like you're dancing already.
Yeah. Yeah, smells great. And they're going to have freaking Trevor Mallard is going to go toe-to-toe.
If I knew it was so easy to have a fight with a politician, I would have put my hat in that ring long ago, because I would take any of them on.
You do need to be a bit more of a fuckwit blogger before you can probably get that level of cachet with the...
I don't have time to be a blogger.
Yep, absolutely.
Liz Shaw will do anything for publicity. So that's probably
true. She's actually unwell and... giving her any publicity is like winking knowingly at a paranoid schizophrenic.
She'll totally come on the show.
I regret talking about her then. Maybe I'll cut that whole thing out. Because
I'm surprised she hasn't appeared already despite us talking about her. She's like Nigel Latter.
Candyman.
That's right.
All right, what else? Next, come on.
I don't think we've got anything else.
I've got something.
You now, you may have heard, this is just something I want to promote, as well as cotton wool all over cast iron cookware. I'd like to promote that. I suggest, now, Ubuntu, they have... oh, my God.
What
is she doing? What is that? Oh, my God, what is that? That's not normal kitchen noises.
Yes,
it's not. has she got a microphone on that thing? Because it must be amplified.
It's just not a very big house.
So Ubuntu, they have things like Warty Warthog and Feisty, I can't remember what that was, and Something Heron and Angry Hedgehog, whatever. They have for each version that they release, they have a number version, which is the year and month number. So the latest version, I think, was 11.4.
was that how that works?
Yep, it's really good because it tells you exactly how old every version is. And they do, they have a major release every 6 months. So the next one will be 11.10. In 20.10, we will get all the way back around to H. And I am proposing that we start now trying to get them to make it Ubuntu 20.10 Headstrong Honey Badger.
I'm in favour. I will join that course.
Because Honey Badgers, man.
They're awesome.
You think Honey Badger cares?
Honey Badger.
Don't give a shit.
Honey Badger don't give a shit.
Don't give a single shit.
No.
and also, now I mentioned this because last week we briefly spoke about Honey Badger, and I don't even remember who it was. It might have been Dylan who suggested that the next version of OS X might be Honey Badger, or maybe it was Ben. But someone took that idea and ran with it and made some box art on Twitter. You can find it if you're a clever Googler.
Excellent.
Yep. OS X 10.8, Honey Badger. But I think that's very unrealistic, but we can make it happen with Ubuntu. We can make it happen.
They're all open source and stuff. I've got a serious, proper story about an area of my interest.
Oh, yes? Is this going to be about pornography?
God.
Yes. So, Star Wars or Star Trek... No, I don't care about either of those. Some chap named Steve Biddle on the Twitter and on geekzone.com or .co.nz or whatever they are, wrote a blog post about the digital switch off, which is when... the analog switch off, which is when the government stops broadcasting or stops allowing TV channels to broadcast analog television.
Yeah.
And more specifically about how TV retailers are still selling quite a lot of televisions that don't have the ability to pick up any digital signal natively and aren't telling consumers about it.
Mm.
So if you go and buy, you know, if you go and buy your cheap TV from your, I don't know, warehouse or Harvey Norman or Bond and Bond or something, there's a very good chance it doesn't have a Freeview tuner. In it, so you won't get any digital television on it, and then in something like 18 months-ish, it will simply stop working as a television unless you go and buy another box to plug it into.
Oh,
I
no.
Have a related serious question.
Yeah.
Can we make our own pirate TV station, like on Kids Song?
No, because we found a TV station, so they didn't have to... A lot of
infrastructure. Yeah, we're not kids. We can make one.
Yeah, but to have sufficient broadcast power would be easily easily locatable. One.
How am I going to sing B-I-N-G-O, Bingo was his name, on television, if not by my own TV station?
I'm sure you can do it on
the internet. You stream, Justin TV. But frankly, I think Skip to My Lou is the better song.
I preferred Rockin' Robin.
That
cheap,
was good.
Chilly.
I was hoping you were going to continue that one.
I don't remember the words. We probably could have a pirate television station, but we'd be located and shut down very quickly. We could probably get away with it if we kept it under 1 watt. So our broadcast range would be like 20 meters.
Well, do you know how they did it on Gemini holograms?
There is actually a... have you seen... Randall's done a Gemini hologram. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's a bit shit. From recollection, there's actually some spectrum allocated for amateur broadcasting.
Yeah.
Because I used to be able to, when I lived in the city with a good shot towards Waiatarua, I used to be able to pick up an amateur channel and they played
NASA.
Mostly a test pattern and then occasionally NASA TV.
Yeah, I think they were hams and I think that they had transmission equipment up on a tower.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure somehow they got some gear or at least a bounce thingy off the Waiatarua.
I think they might have actually been licensed.
Well, on an episode of Gem and the Holograms, they avoided being caught with their pirate broadcast by broadcasting from a plane that was circling around the city all day.
That sounds truly outrageous.
It was truly, truly outrageous. It was actually the Misfits who did it, though.
Yeah,
smart ones, though. I know that,
Or Rio's pretty smart. What if we had like a pirate radio station and we broadcast from the back of our Jeep as we were driving fast around the school field?
That's... around the school field.
This is the worst episode ever, and I don't even really want to dignify this conversation by participating. But believe it or not,
do you always say that they're the worst episode ever? Because I haven't listened to all of the Discourse podcasts, but every time I'm on it, you declare, this is the worst podcast ever.
I'm always right. It's just a death spiral. It gets worse and worse and worse.
Come back from your time traveling, Ben Gracewood.
Oh, for the Christchurch episode again. I guess I could do it again just about, actually, couldn't I? God damn it. So believe it or not, I priced up and considered ordering a bunch of FM broadcast equipment because we do have unlicensed FM spectrum in New Zealand that we can use freely.
In the hundreds? Up about 102-ish?
Also way down like 80, 87 or something, 86, right. Way down there. But also way up in the 110-ish range.
You can be like Christian Slater and Pump Up the Volume.
Yeah, exactly like that, only with tiny, tiny broadcasting on power.
Back of our Jeep.
Yes, I know.
Yes, the Schofield, that joke again. Yeah, it was really, really good the first time. It didn't make me pucker and clench at all, I promise. Where'd my soundboard go? I'd really like to shoot this episode in the head by doing some more soundboard stuff.
You do some soundboard stuff. I'm going to go because I've
this whole Ryan, this whole thing is going to go.
Oh,
do you know who's do you know who is a liar or an idiot?
Who's a liar or an idiot?
Hillary Calvert.
Hillary Calvert.
Yep.
The politician.
The politician.
Oh, thank God for Diana.
Dylan says, oh, thank God for Diana.
Who says?
Look things up.
Yeah, I'm not allowed to look this up either. So if I'm incorrect about any of these details, it was all, you know, with the greatest possible respect and satire. And I'm not in New Zealand and didn't say it from New Zealand or whatever.
She said some dumb things about
free-range chickens. She says that battery chickens are happier and healthier because free-range chickens have to be pumped full of antibiotics, which couldn't be further from the truth. Free-range chickens only even manage to survive, you know, at all because of the massive antibiotic doses.
I think you mean battery chickens.
Yeah, you mean battery chickens.
Oh, what did I say?
You said free-range. That's okay. We'll fix this in post.
None of this is fixable. We're going to have no episode this week. We're just going to have a very brief bit where Helen talks.
Says that Ben Gracewood forgot, and then that's it.
Yeah, we'll have a bit unannounced where Helen talks about jokes for change, and then it will just go whisker us, ha, 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 we're using that. Hillary Calvert, you are on my shit list this week. That's what that sums up to. Also, UN report declares internet access a human right, which means that three strikes and you're out, or any kind of disconnection is probably a breach of human rights. The New Zealand Bill of Rights Act really exists almost exclusively to say that we are signers to the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And the UN has also, I can't look any of this up, so I'm not going to go into a great deal of detail, but the UN has also warned that about rising governmental restrictions on internet, saying that that's a blooming terrible idea and that it's probably a sign of a pretty shonky government. Ben added something to the show notes before. He forgot that he was going to flake. Apparently, we shouldn't moan about Vodafone NZ's terrible coverage because they might sue us for defamation. Because apparently, Vodafone India is threatening their customers with defamation when customers complain publicly about bad service.
Whoa!
So things actually could be worse.
All right.
I don't use Vodafone anymore. I can't complain.
All right.
I'm
thank you, Ryan.
Off. I love you guys all. See you later.
Bye.
Hi, Ryan.
Is there anything that we usually do on the show that I haven't done? Because this is... Oh, my God.
Tweet bag, corrections.
Oh, yeah, corrections. Okay. I have completely cocked... I changed the version numbering with season 2. And I went to this 2. Whatever thing. And that's fine for display on the website. I think that makes it very clear what you're looking at. But I also changed the version numbering in the files, which means that we started at 200. So we skipped from, like, 25... straight to 200. I really regret that. I think it should have been continuous numbering. And if I change back, though, eventually we'll get to 200 again. And then what? I cocked it up.
200.
I completely cocked it up. No, I really regret changing the numbering. So that's a correction, and I don't know what I'm going to do about it.
Maybe Ben can fix it with his time machine.
Yeah. Unfortunately, his time machine only works in one direction. As he hasn't already corrected it, we can guess which direction that is. Something about... I'd like to hear from the listeners, if any of them have made it this far through the worst episode ever, what they think about the reduced episode length.
Which is probably no longer the case.
This episode is definitely going to be under an hour, even if I have to just delete most of it. Did you like it, having an episode under an hour? Dylan, I know that you didn't because you've got lots of commuting that you need to do.
It's ruined all my... My podcast thing's all ruined now. I keep having to listen to morning radio instead of useful podcasts.
This thing where we don't look up our articles, it worked last time, I'm sure. But this time it just feels like... I think it was Liz Shaw that ruined the episode, actually.
It was Liz Shaw that ruined the episode, no doubt.
So if I cut that out, the listeners won't understand why I'm so dejected.
Just leave this reference in and they'll understand that Liz Shaw ruined the episode but won't know how.
Okay, so now I can change my mind. This is the best episode ever because all of that stuff is gone and I'm incredibly happy with that. And I'm sure Helen was really delighted to have been here for it.
And she's hung on this long, which means pretty good things for the listeners, surely.
I wonder if I can fix this.
Wait a minute, feedback.
There we go.
Thank you.
There we go.
With your own.
Everything's better. Everything's better with Paul Henry laughing.
Actually, you should be able to interview him, surely. Oh, obviously not with Ben on the show.
Oh, my God. But if he looked us up before agreeing to do the episode, he'd see.
He doesn't seem like a man who's fastidious with his research.
All right, let's put a pin in this episode, eh?
Hey, do you know who was right about the pronunciation, apparently? Dick shit was apparently the appropriate way to pronounce it.
Well, in that case, what a bunch of crybabies. And
I don't necessarily it was the pronunciation. It was just the way he went on about it afterwards.
I think that saying dick and shit was the problematic bit because people didn't listen to his explanation. They thought that people were talking about something he wasn't talking about. People thought that he was talking about something he wasn't talking about. I was going to start to say something.
You were going
to
put a pin in it.
Say, is there anything you want to promote, Dylan? No. Oh, no, actually, that's not true. It's not really. It's just a thing.
Is this going to be your Playboy thing?
Yes.
All right.
Have you seen them? They're quite cool.
Yeah, they're not cool until there's nipples.
Well, you'd be really disappointed when I finally get to that because it's really disappointing. I've got a 19... What is it? Here it is. It's in front of me.
1968.
February 1968, Playboy magazine. It used to cost, what was that, 9 shillings 6 pence in New Zealand. It was 75 cents in the States. And it's got really interesting... ads are the main thing that I'm interested in.
Yeah, I've got two from the late 70s.
Yeah, they're just it's fascinating. And there's also a weird article, which I've now figured out how to get high res on my Tumblr, a weird article about possible presidential candidates for the upcoming presidential election, which include Nixon, who went on to win it, Ronald Reagan, who didn't stand for ages, and a whole bunch of other people, including Martin Luther King, Hubert Humphrey, a Rockefeller. I'm just scanning it and putting it on the internet slowly until Playboy sent me a
secret. I've got a Playboy from November 2010. I got it because it has Ariane Celeste from the UFC. Yes. She's
good articles in it, eh?
Yeah, really good articles. And Pudenda.
What percentage of that magazine do you reckon is articles versus tits and stuff?
Oh, I guess I could tell you. I can just do some quick research. Do these little, like, half a page thing, does that count as an article?
I don't know. Just in terms of this, there is 1, 2, 3, 4. There's, like, 8 pages of, like, you know, porn shoot.
Yeah.
Mm. Including the missing centerfold, which I don't have. Obviously, it was stuck to someone's wall at some point.
Yeah.
And then there's, like, a teeny little documentary piece on Miss Nude Universe, which isn't really... porn. It's just some people posing, and mostly it's their bums.
Yeah.
And that's it. And the rest of it is all articles, letters, short stories, which don't appear to be pornographic, interviews. It's mostly not porn.
Mm. Mine's the same. They're really good articles too.
Yeah, and there's an article in here by at the time he was a sitting U.S. congressman. had written an article for it. Senator, actually, not a congressman.
Do you love how unporny the porn is that?
Yeah, well, it is very unporny. I've also got somewhere I've scanned, although I'm not going to put them on my Tumblr because they're gross, but some stuff from an early 80s New Zealand porn magazine. Well, it's got a New Zealand model named Morgan.
Hot. All right, so there are about 150 pages, 156 pages here, and there were about 23 pages of actual porn. There were also, I mean, there were ads with nipples in them and like little kind of incidental shots that weren't photo shoot stuff. So the ratio is, I mean, it's much higher than your 1968 one. But
you're getting a bit of value for money these days.
Does
it come in a little plastic bag, or is it just a plain magazine when you buy it?
It came in a PDF.
What?
Yeah.
Are you pirating Playboy magazine?
Fuck yes. Why would I buy this? I just wanted to see Ariane naked.
Right.
I didn't care.
194 pages in my one.
Right.
Anyway, my ride's here. I want to talk about pornography a bit more, but
Well, we'll do it heaps more next time, I promise.
Yeah, cool.
I would not honor that promise. We almost never talk about pornography. This is 2 weeks in a row, though.
Anyway, dylanreeve.tumblr.com.
Excellent. And what was the best URL for your stuff, Helen?
OneNight.co.nz to buy tickets.
And that has a hyphen, though, isn't it? It's number one.
OneNight. Yep. The numeral one-night.co.nz. And then you can find it on there, Strokes for Change, is the event.
Thank you for joining us, Helen. I hope that, I know that Ryan and I will definitely be coming along, probably with our prospective other halves. I don't know if Dylan will come. He's got all those bloody children.
Oh, no.
Not into it.
And hopefully we can convince some of our listeners to come along as well. I hope it's a really good night and it sells out.
Dylan just sent me some of the New Zealand porn.
Oh, no.
From the 80s.
Oh, no.
It's so good. That's going on my wall immediately. Thank you. This has made my night.
I'm glad I could help.
Oh, my God.
Did you just get it?
Oh, my God, Dylan.
Morgan. Morgan is totally king. Tony and Jamie know how to do it as well.
Yeah. My favorite is the cartoon, which has been scanned directly out of another magazine, including the thing down the bottom that says June 1979 magazine.
It's not even that funny.
No.
This is awful. This is really awful.
I love Morgan. She's great. Look at her mole.
Wow-wee.
Okay, thanks very much, guys.
Cheers, Helen.
See ya. Your podcast you've ever done.
Yeah. It's finishing on a high note.
Yeah. Morgan. Oh, but you're Morgan as well. That's confusing.
God.
Could they be one and the same?
We could.
If you look closely.
Oh.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Discourse.
So
it's just you and me again, eh, Dylan?
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us again, Dylan. Beloved listeners, I hope that this episode turned out well after editing. Oh my God, I probably had a really long night. If you did like the show, maybe you could tweet about us. Maybe you could Facebook about us. If you didn't like the show, maybe you could still do those, but just lie about having liked it. Maybe you could tweet. I mean, because I'm sure that most of the people that follow you on Twitter, beloved listener, aren't actually your friends. And so you don't really care if they waste their time. So maybe tweet about how great this was and try and convince a few people you don't like to go and listen. But, you know, maybe it was a great episode. Maybe you could fix them. You could open their minds. You could make them into better human beings just by listening to Discourse. And then, you know, you'd be followed by people you do like.
Yeah, or you could refer them to a better episode if you didn't like this one.
Yeah, episode 20 of season 1. For instance,
really fond of that one.
I really liked 203 and 203B. I thought last week was friggin' brilliant.
Yes, I enjoyed that.
Very sharp stuff. I mean,
wish I'd come in a little bit earlier. Anyway.
Oh yeah, you had some password stuff. Let's add that into the corrections. Password stuff. What was your suggestion for passwords? Your suggestion was to have really, really long, really difficult passwords, but only have one of them so you can actually remember it, but change a couple of the characters to suit each site based on the domain name. I think, yeah.
Yep, basically. So you choose a moderately difficult password like you would, and then you say if you use Twitter as an example. If you go into Twitter, you maybe take the first two letters of the domain name, TW, yep, and insert them in two different places within the password. So every site you use it at, you take the same predictable two letters. You always choose the same two letters out of the domain name,
yeah,
you know, first and third, first and fourth, whatever.
Yeah.
Pop them into the same place in your base password, and you're away.
Right.
And that way you can always remember your password. It's different on every site. And with any luck, it's not too easily crackable. Although, I've now heard that random passwords are still quite crackable with high-powered GPUs and things like that doing the processing. And the best thing to do, apparently, is just to choose an English word phrase, lots of letters, lots of spaces, things like that, that they take ages to crack. So you use, you know, hello, my darling, as your password or whatever, and it'll take bloody ages to crack.
Right. Okay. And then maybe change it often enough that it doesn't matter if it gets cracked.
Yeah, I have, say, I have two or three base passwords that I use depending on the type of site I'm going to, and then I use that same sort of base password policy that I talked about, and I have no problem with forgetting passwords, and I'm not too worried if one of them gets compromised.
Right, good. So there you go, listeners. You learn something new from Discourse every week. Last week, you learned about where to get mobile pornography. This week, you learned better password policy. Next week, who knows what it'll be? Maybe how to kill yourself painlessly.
Probably mobile pornography again.
Well, they are our new sponsors, them and Monster, and some and like the worst like cheap general alcoholic beverage you could possibly find. Sal's
pizza.
Sal's pizza. I really like Sal's. It sounds like Ryan doesn't like Sal's. I couldn't tell if he was being genuine or not.
Positive Sal's, or is it a negative Sal's?
Why? I don't know. It's hard to tell. He did seem to want to change the subject.
He ate quite a lot of Sal's pizza when we did our 48 hour film. So.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. Well, maybe he does like it. I like it, but only when it's very hot and very fresh. It goes a bit cardboardy a bit quickly. Listeners, check it out. The show's over. I love you. Goodbye. See you next week.
Good night.
You're listening to The Weekly Show on
Wisconsin.
All right, we're using that one.